All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to be here with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us where we fail you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Lord, we ask that you would guide us this morning as we open your word. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to turn to 1 Peter. Just begin in chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of sufferings are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll stop right there. This morning I was driving through town and I saw a church sign that said, "You can never get away from God." And I think the implication they were trying to give was that you can't run away from him. In other words, if he's pursuing you, that there's no place to escape. But I almost, when I read that, I thought it was almost like a comforting thing, the way it said it. But as I thought about it, I thought there is an escape from God. In fact, most people are already separated from God. While there is a a pursuance that God has towards those who are lost. And if He truly is seeking after us, I mean, there's no escape in that light. But we are already separated from God. And in the end, there will be people separated from God with no remedy. I think we forget sometimes that in God's plan and how things have He set things up, that the power, the ability that He gives individuals, our choices, they continue. And He allows our free will, He allows our choices to, He gives us our will. And we choose what we choose, and we're free to do that. That's why there's suffering and pain and sorrow, wars, fightings in the world, because man is allowed to have the choice over those that are he has dominion over. And that same power Satan also has that God gave in the beginning. When God created us, He created us for His purpose. And when we chose to go away from God and chose our own path, and Adam, when he chose to yield obedience to Satan, Satan gained control over Adam. He gained power over him. Adam belonged to Satan. And this picture of these elders, it tells people to submit to elders, those who are in authority. But yet it tells those same elders not to lord it over those that are under them. Satan lords it over his subjects. He doesn't allow you, he doesn't give you choice in what you do. He lords it over you. And you do his bidding, at his will, at his command. You're in bondage. And that's the way the world is in bondage. Talked about the deceivers. And beware, in the last days, the boys gave the examples of people who would be about among deceiving. It's the way of the world. And people can say the same things, even almost look the same and do the same. But inside, they're ravenous wolves. Inside, they have the characteristics that the Bible is talking about here, about who Satan actually is. You have elders and leaders all over the world. Some of them lead like Jesus, and some of them are just seeking to control and have dominion over everything. Saying the same things, looking the same way. But in the end, this is how you tell. People can read these. I've heard these verses read, and people will say, younger men, submit yourselves to the elders. And preach whole messages about how it's your responsibility and that you're disobeying God if you don't listen to what the elders are telling you to do. If you don't follow the rules the elders set up for you. And they use these verses. There's several of them. And they just rule by those verses, which is the exact opposite of what he's telling us here to do. Submission comes from the bottom up. This word, they used the word here, voluntarily. Of the elders serving voluntarily. And that's the way submission works. It's not because someone has power over you and controls you. That's Satan's way. That's Satan's plan. Submission is a voluntary thing. True obedience to God is a voluntary thing. We choose to volunteer ourselves to follow Jesus. That doesn't mean we just take, okay, we got a new rule book to live by. It means we volunteer to serve the Lord. I have to remind myself sometimes whenever we're going, when I'm going through something really hard, it's really difficult, and you just want to give up, and you want to quit, and you're just through with all of this. I have to remind myself that I volunteered for this service. Whenever everything is going wrong in your life, when people are turning against you, when you're having all kinds of problems, whenever the whole world is against you, you're tempted and tested and tried, and you wonder where God is. Sometimes I almost want to cry out like Jesus did, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are you in all of this? I have to remember, I chose this path. I volunteered to do this. Whatever we might have to go through, we volunteered to do this. Jesus never paints a pretty picture. He never tells us that everything will be rosy and everything will be easy and great. Just the contrary. He said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. Some people take that as a command. It's an invitation for volunteers, is all it is. Some people take it as a command, and so they follow the Lord because they feel like they're commanded to. That's how you get legalism. You got to get down to the very jot and tittle of every little thing done. But that's not the way it is if you volunteer. We've chosen this path willingly. We obey because we've chosen to obey. Not because we're compelled to obey or forced to obey. That's Satan's plan. Some people take this and say, oh, well, that means I don't have to do anything. Jesus did all the dying. I'm free and clear. I'm good to go. I don't have to do anything. That's not volunteering. That's like in the world, in the military. I mean, there's people that's just free because somebody else is fighting my battle. While others volunteer to go fight the battle. Jesus is looking for volunteers, not freeloaders. We volunteer because of who Jesus is. We're not trying to get away from God. We're choosing to follow Him. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in the proper time. Our pride is what keeps us from truly being a volunteer. Volunteering, being a volunteer, means that we're letting someone else be in control of our lives. There's no room for pride in that. There's no room for pride in that. Pride will not dwell together very well with being a volunteer. There'll be a constant battle with our pride. And we have to voluntarily, continually surrender that. That's why our attitude is so important. The attitude of a volunteer. The attitude of a volunteer humbles our pride and keeps us where we're supposed to be. We have nothing to brag about in God's army. There's no place for boasting in being a volunteer. We volunteer to do this. And that means volunteering to humble ourselves and just do what we're supposed to do. That's why there's no shame in doing the little work, the low work, being the nobody. That's what we volunteered for. We have no place to exalt ourselves. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What a blessing. Grace. The ability to do whatever He wants us to do. Now I've heard all my life that grace was unmerited favor. That's not what grace is. Grace is an ability to do what God wants us to do. The power, the grace, when you see someone do something gracefully, because they're full of grace, smoothly, calmly, full of peace, grace. Anybody can do a job just griping and belly aching and complaining and whining and crying and boo-hoo-hooing. That's not full of grace. Grace is an ability to do the worst thing and go through the worst thing and still have a good attitude about it. To have peace about it. To have rest about it. And we can all look at that and we'll say, yeah, he needs to humble himself. And he needs to be proud. He's too proud. Wait a minute. You missed it. If your mind of somebody going proud or being proud went to somebody else, strike three, you missed the whole ball game. Game over. Game over. Strike out. Out of the game. You're done. If that pride isn't bullseyed right on you, if that humility isn't worried about you, if it's worried about somebody else, you missed it. You may think somebody's the proudest person in the world, but if that's where your mind just went, you missed it. You're the proud one. You're the proud one. Because you're concerned about somebody else instead of yourself. And if this isn't about you, you missed it. Jesus died. And you missed it. because you're worried about somebody else instead of yourself. It says the grace, God is opposed to the proud. And how proud do you have to be to think somebody else has pride and be worried about that when you hear about it? Opposed to you if you're worried about somebody else. Lord, I'm the proud one. I'm the one that needs my attitude fixed. I'm the one that needs to be humble. I'm the one that needs the grace to be humble. But He gives it. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Some people get so tied up in eternity that they're just, oh, I'll do anything because God's going to lift me up. God's going to exalt me. But a humble person's not worried about being exalted. This is a promise God's just going to give you. And if you can't take a little pride now, you won't be able to take pride in eternity. If you can't be exalted now without getting all proud about it, you can't be exalted in eternity. God is preparing us for eternity. And He's going to give to people who can take it. God can lift people up and they don't get proud. It's because He can trust them. Because humility. Humility and pride is not on levels. Oh, I'm way up here. I mean, there's people way up here that are humble servants, volunteers, that are way up there. But they don't even give a thought about that. God's going to raise them through the roof and He can. And they won't get all proud about it. But the person that's way down here that's full of pride, they're going to be full of pride at whatever level God places them. That's why He's talking about here the elders and the young men. The elders are those who are supposed to have been able to have gone through this and don't get lifted up because of being an elder. They're not trying to rule it over everybody else because of their position and their place. Sometimes it almost seems like you're not trying to let people make their own decisions. Almost seems like, well, he's not doing nothing. He don't even care. You've got to let people make their own choices. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in proper time. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Being a volunteer means that not my will, but thine be done, is our theme. And whatever we go through, whatever happens, I mean the roof caves in, the pipes break, whatever happens, the Lord allowed it to happen. The Lord allowed it to happen. Somebody turns against you. Somebody says something that you thought you heard you said. Somebody said that somebody else said that they said that he said that you said that. And I get all anxious about it. Well, all of that happened. And nothing happened that the Lord didn't allow. Cast your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Isn't it prideful of us to think that we can fix all the problems? And we worry and stew and try to fix everything. And he's saying, cast your cares upon me. I'll take care of them. See, we're people who like to get things done, like to have things taken care of. Well, that leads to anxiety. We've got to be able to do our responsibility and take care of our responsibility, but know what is not in our hands to take care of. See, that's the elder slipping over into the domineering person again. All of us. When we try to take care of things that are out of our hands and try to fix those things, we get all stressed out and get all anxious. Why? Because we're full of pride. And we're trying to do something instead of just committing it to the Lord, casting our care upon Him. And it's so easy to be so busy to try to get everything done that we forget to cast our cares upon the Lord. So that we might get up an extra hour early and get everything all done, but at the end of the day, be all anxious, maybe a little bit proud of ourselves because we got things accomplished. When if we would have cast our cares on the Lord and got done what He wanted us to have done that day, we could have rest and peace and faith in Him. Be of a sober spirit. Be of a sober spirit. Some people think a sober spirit is just walking around all pouting all day, or just, well, I don't dare smile, or I don't dare take... That's not what sober is. Sober is aware of things as they really are. Sober is a keenness, being alert to what's on around us. Sober is having a clear mind. Doesn't mean you can't smile. Doesn't mean situations aren't humorous sometimes. Because they are. But that's part of being sober. Being able to see those things just how they are. And sometimes how silly they really are. And we can laugh about them. Sober is alert and aware. Awake. Not drowsy and down, low. That's not sober. That's drunk. Sober is aware of things. Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Is there a place you can be away from God? Absolutely. You can be devoured by Satan. The Bible talks about those that are cast out into outer darkness. They're away from God with no remedy. Mike talked about death. Death is not the end of all things. Death is a separation. Adam didn't just fall over and turn to dust and we never thought about him again. Adam was separated from God when he chose to take the fruit that God provided, that God told him not to eat. He was separated from God. And it took Christ dying to reconcile us. You know, I think we have a hard time sometimes because we've been trained to obey. We're pretty good people. We're decent folks. We do a lot of good things. We obey the Bible. But it took Christ dying, sacrificing, so that we could be reconciled to God, to set us free from Satan and his death grip on us, his power over us. It took Jesus overcoming and defeating him. It took a sacrifice. Sometimes there's very few people that actually appreciate a sacrifice or recognize a sacrifice. Someone else giving up something for you. Something else, someone else paying a price for you. That's part of this honoring. That's part of honor. Somebody has paid a price for us. Some people just have no respect for that. They're so self-involved. They're so concerned about themselves. They don't care that somebody else paid a price to get you to where you're at. They can just throw away everything because there's no respect for a sacrifice. Well, if there's no respect for a human sacrifice that you can see that someone's given you, that someone's done for you, how in the world will you ever see some imagination that you can honor Jesus who gave a sacrifice for you? That's why honor your parents, and that's why the Bible talks about respecting your elders. That's why the Bible talks about that honor. Not because that's just such an honorable person, but because they've paid a price to get you where you're at. Somebody sacrificed for you. Somewhere along the line throughout history, this was passed on and passed on and passed on, and somebody sacrificed to give it to somebody, to sacrifice, to give it to somebody, to get to you. And if we can't recognize those things, how can we ever recognize what Jesus did for us? It was God's mercy and His love for us that Jesus did this for us, so that we could be reconciled to God. There's a place that we will be separated from God, that we will be without His help. It's not because He's mean about it. It's because we've chosen to be devoured by the lion instead of trusting in the one who gave Himself for us. Instead of trusting the one who died for us enough to be a volunteer to serve Him, to lose our lives that we might find it. May the Lord add his blessings.
My God.